Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat number 3. I'm Mike from Mike's Craft Beer. We've got Steve from Mike's Craft Beer and Terry from West Coast Beer Geek. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode because we are missing two of our guys, but we're going to start talking about episodes we've been to events we've been to lately, some of the breweries we've been to lately, and then talk about some beer from across Canada. Why don't we start with Steve on some events or different things he's been doing lately.
So I haven't been doing a lot of eventing lately, but one of the things I've always wanted to do and still haven't had the chance to do is just south of the border in Leavenworth in Washington State, probably I think a 4 or 5 hour drive, they do an Oktoberfest, and the entire town it's one big tourist trap, but it looks pretty awesome. It's done up like a giant Bavarian town. Like, you know, those storybook towns you see that look like they're kind of made out of gingerbread. And so they do like this whole big Oktoberfest thing. It's one of the big events I've always wanted to go to. Mostly because it just looks like a hell of a lot of fun. And other than that, the one I do want to go to this summer is the Great Canadian Beer Fest over in Victoria. I've been once, and it was just a good event. Great vibe. Everybody's pretty chill. Well, a lot of good beer, and I'm hoping they've expanded a bit more because the Victoria beer scene is still pretty vibrant, but there's so much across the strait that they could bring in.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, nothing wrong with drinking in a field every once in a while.
Not that we ever do that.
No, of course not. Those are my two big events for the next little bit. We'll see if I get to either of them, but almost certainly Great Canadian Beer Fest, at least.
Nice. How about you, Terry?
Yeah, I was last night at the Beer Craft Belgian Showcase for Vancouver Craft Beer Week, and our cohort here, Joe Weeb, was there too, so I was chatting with him a little bit here and there.
Nice.
Through the night. And that's a fun one. If you ever get a chance to go, I suggest signing up for that because, you know, they have at least 50 Belgian beers there. It's all you can drink, so it's all inclusive, which is dangerous.
Yeah.
Pace yourself. I had really good food. They had a mashed potato bar. They had fried oysters. They had lamb meatballs. Everything was included. Great staff. They know what they're doing there. A really well-run event. They sell a limited number of tickets, so although it gets a little crowded in there, you never have to wait for your beer, which is a big plus in mine.
Nice.
And that was other than the fact that it's held on a Monday night, which makes work a little tough.
Yeah.
The next day, really great event. So I've been twice, and I'd be happy to go back again this year. And I liked it because I was comparing notes, and they had at least, you know, probably at least half the beers were not repeats. They brought in a whole bunch of really cool stuff.
Oh, nice.
Most interesting one I had it's a Prairis Quad, but it was a barrel-aged version in Asian bourbon barrels.
Where's that from?
I can't. It's a Belgian brewer.
Okay.
No worries. I cannot pronounce it for the life of me. But
put you on the spot.
Anyway, their bottles are in stock right now, and I think they're a pretty good price. And I'm going to be on the hunt for them because it was pretty fantastic.
Nice.
I can't recall having that many authentic Belgian, you know, from Belgium barrel aged quads. So that was pretty cool. And again, like I said, it was free pouring. So a couple takes on that one.
Nice.
So there's that one. And then I'm heading down to the Washington Beer Commission's main festival on Father's Day weekend. So me and my dad have made it a tradition to go down every year now. And we go to it's actually a family event, but on Friday night they bring out their special stuff and it's adults only.
Nice.
So that'll be 5 hours of imbibing. And again, the thing I love about that one, you know, you look at fest tickets here, you can see where the taxes have an impact because the fest there, it's $20 to get in. And I think you get like 8 or 10 taster tokens with it. And the extra ones, I think, are only $1. So
it's
pretty good price. It just, you know, you got to pay for a hotel when you go down there because there's no way you're coming back that night.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's the only thing. But yeah, no, good one. Last time we went barrel hunting, there was at least 50, I would say, barrel-aged casks or whatnot there. So It's a good one.
Nice.
Yeah. How about you, Mike?
All right. I've been doing a little bit of everything. I went up to the Great Okanagan Beer Festival in early May. Amazing, amazing event. Right on the beach in Kelowna. It was around a man-made lagoon right down by all the hotels there near the Tree Beer Institute. They had all the different booths set up around the lagoon. I'm amazed no one fell in at the end of the event. But they have lots of great breweries from Metro Vancouver, from the Okanagan, a couple from the Kootenays, a couple from back east. So it was nice to actually find some beers I hadn't tried before, which is not easy for me. And it was a beautiful, beautiful warm day. Probably why everyone got a little drunker than they expected to. It happens. And then recently I went to a tap takeover Beer Thirst put on for Moylan's Brewing. They're from California. Great brewery. I had no experience with their beer, but they had it at the London Pub in Chinatown, and they had their barley wine, double IPA, all kinds of huge beers. And then they had, like, I think it was like a pomegranate wheat or something like that, a really nice fruity wheat ale that was really easy drinking. That was, I think that probably ran out first, which is pretty normal.
How'd you like their barley wine?
I quite liked it. I've never had it before, so I can't really compare it to a lot of things, but quite enjoyed it.
Let me know if you ever want a few more.
Oh, you didn't like it? I'll take them.
No, it's good. I can get it.
Oh, really? Okay, I might just take you up on that because I don't think the barley wine's coming to Canada, or at least not yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Vancouver Craft Beer Week, on Friday, I'm going out to the Rookies and Legends event. It's got lots of well-known breweries. Hoyn, Fernie's going to be there, Central City, Phillips, Parallel 49, Yellow Dog, all kinds of guys. And I'm looking forward to it. It's at 12 Kings Pub, and it should be a great time. All the beers included in that event, too, and, you know, appies and all that are included. So I'm expecting that to be a really good event with the legends in BC and then some of the newer guys. Or if they're not new, they got a new space, like Powell Street and Bridge Brewing. They're considered rookies because they got a brand new space. And yeah. Then I'm really looking forward to the East Kootenay Beer Festival. I'm going on June 20th. It's at Fairmont Hot Springs, which is a 10-hour drive from here, so it's going to be a really long weekend. But it's going to be great. They hold the festival itself right up at the ski resort at Fairmont Hot Springs, right up in the mountains. So you go up there and you do all your sampling different beers. There's a bunch of beers from Alberta that you can't get here, a bunch of Kootenay breweries. I think at least Bomber Brewing for Vancouver. I'm not sure how many Vancouver breweries are going to be there. But then you also have the hot springs you can enjoy. So it should be a great time. Cool. We'll just pause here to see what happened to Steve.
Yeah, you know, I was...
Go ahead.
Oh, did you drop off? Yeah. I was going to say, one thing I will say, out of all the Vancouver Craft Beer Week events I've attended, they're pretty well run. You know, I mean, they do a pretty good job of that week. I got to give them a shout out for doing a, you know, pricing it fairly well. You know, never really have a problem with running out of beer or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't usually have long lines except for the main taster festival where, you know, everyone lines up with Foreman's and the newer breweries and that, but
yeah, for sure.
No, they do a pretty good job.
I mean, they look expensive at first, but then when you look at the fact that usually all the beer is included, usually at least appies are included, so you can actually eat and drink all night, not worry about shelling out more cash.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the last free event I went to, the one at the Stone Launch, I paid more at the end of the day for that one, for ordering food and extra beer and stuff than I did for the Belgian one.
Still a good event, so, but
oh, it was great! It was great. Yeah, no, I had a great time, but that's, you know, when you look at the total costs, they do a pretty good job.
Yeah,
I've been pretty happy with them.
They do. So, all right, now that we're done talking about the events we've been to lately, why don't we talk about the breweries we've been to lately? Why don't we go back to Steve? There you go.
So the last couple of breweries I've been to were Moody Ales and 33 Acres. I've talked about Moody Ales before. I still love them. Particularly, I like some of the new stuff they've been doing. They've got their guest brewer series. Their first one from that was the matcha lemon saison, which was fantastic out of the crowler. I think Mike's drinking it right now, actually.
Yeah, I'll give you a little visual right now.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a crowler sized cup, yes. Oh.
For a crowler sized man, yeah.
Speaking of crowlers, Elizabeth Station just installed a crowler thing in Bellingham. Just
I was already in love, but now I'm more in love.
Anyway, sorry, back to you, Steve.
No worries. Lately, Moody's also been doing some special casks that are a little more away from their usual. They've always done special casks of their regular lineup, like adding chocolate nibs to their porter, but they've started doing some more experimental stuff. I've gotten the chance to taste a couple of them. They're really good, but they're also really limited. So if you want to go and try them, you have to go down to the brewery and see what's on tap. Follow them on Twitter and you'll find out when they're going to crack open the cask.
Just don't follow too many people because you lose it all.
Yeah, you never see any notifications at that point. They're worth checking out if you want to just get something a little different and something you're probably never going to get again. As for 33 Acres, I just love going back there. I like the weird, sort of everything white, everything a little clinical sort of feel they've got going, but
IKEA.
Still. Yeah, a little IKEA for the furniture, but not IKEA on the beer.
Right. That's true.
Not to mention it's stumbling distance from a friend's place, so it makes for a really good, easy stop. Terry, how about you?
Yeah, I was at Dagger this past weekend, not for their anniversary, but the day before. Grabbed a growler of the Burnabarian, which is always nice.
Bad timing.
And it's funny, the two things I noticed there. One, they've started carrying the Notch coffee, which is a bottled cold brew, and a thing called hop soda, which was fantastic.
Nice.
So I got some other stuff from them too, which was kind of cool. And I picked up a couple bottles of DeWitt and noticed that they charge a pretty fair price there. I got to admit, I was actually telling them to charge more. Sorry, guys. But when your competition is selling it for $9 a bottle and you got it for $6, you might want to make a few more bucks there as an independent brewer.
No, we'll just spend anyway, the money on their brewery.
Yeah, I guess that's the idea, right? But it was pretty cool. And if you are have been paying attention to their social media, they just announced that their tasting room is going to be open 7 days a week. So. Which is great because I'm usually out that way on either Tuesday or Wednesday, and they've only recently opened up Wednesday, so it's great to have every day open up there.
That's awesome.
And then the other one, which I was just happenstance was there for a bowling swimming thing, was Big River Brew Pub in Richmond, and I gotta admit, I was pretty impressed. I know they've got Brewer Bill as he goes by,
or Bill Urban, Bill. Right?
Yeah, true. Anyway, he's got some pretty cool stuff going on there. I had a couple of their sours, the Chimperial Stout, a couple of their regular lineup there, and all of it was actually pretty decent. And I thought, again, got some growlers to go home with me there. And I thought the cool thing about them is they had, four regular lineup and four rotating. And I think that's fantastic for, any brew pub out there. First off, you should have more rotating taps on there. Just keep us craft beer geeks and other folks around there interested. Thing about Moody Ales is cool because you got something new there all the time, right?
Yeah.
And then the other nice thing about it is if they have a motto, if we have it, we'll fill it with a growler.
Yeah.
Take home the Imperial Stout. You can take home the sours, which is something I have a bit of a beef with. Some places they just don't let you, take home anything that they brew. So I thought that was pretty cool. So that made me excited to go back there.
My favorite thing about that place is actually you can go bowling and drink a mild sour. You don't have to just go drink the cheapest lager they make. You can drink a sour. You can drink a Chipotle Imperial Stout. You can drink a lager if you want, the Zwicka lager. But
now the question is, does your bowling skill improve even more with craft beer on tap? I've only ever tried it with crap.
Who cares? Let's try it. Bowling night.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'm actually surprised more of the older bowling alleys haven't tried to step up that game, because that would be a good way to kind of reinvigorate them. You know, if you had a cast night or whatever.
There's a bowling alley down on Commercial. I forget the name off the top of my head, but I know they at least stock Phillips Blue Buck, which is a start. They're slowly getting there, but it's one of those businesses that doesn't change very easily.
That's true, no. Yeah.
No.
I can't remember.
Oh, you, Mike?
All right, a couple of latest ones I've been to. First, let's see, Bidone's Craft Brewing Company. If you know craft beer, you know the old Powell Street location. And you'd remember how small the tasting room used to be there. Well, it's been completely redesigned. They threw out the old design. They punched out a couple walls, and they've made a pretty decent-sized craft beer lounge now. So you can actually sit there and drink a couple beer instead of just the 12 ounces of beer a day. They're making some good beer. When I was there, they had a rye IPA, which I was totally for. I forget what the other two were right now.
I think their regular lineup, Kolsch, I think they'll always have.
Yeah, Kolsch.
And did they have their alt beer?
Yeah, Kolsch and alt beer, that's the other two. But it's a great space. They've got a nice little bar. They do growler fills. Everyone should be making their way out there and checking it out.
And yeah, I saw they bottled some stuff too.
Yeah, they bottled their, I don't know if it's the, I think it's the new IPA they've made that they bottled now.
Yeah.
And they're going to bottle one of the other beer, one of their standard lineup as well. Coming up pretty soon. And then on the complete other side of the spectrum, I went out and visited Red Truck Beer in the Brewery Creek District. And holy, that's quite the operation they've got there. They got the diner, which is a nice little diner they got a little kitchen. They've got all the different beers they're brewing right now. But the operation is one of the most technical out there in BC, up there with Central City and Parallel 49. And probably Russell, too, with really big automated bottling lines and canning lines. They got a red truck hanging from the ceiling. It's quite interesting.
That's but, money.
most of their tanks right now, their big tanks are all dedicated to their lager. And all their smaller tanks are dedicated to their ISAs, their IPAs, and all the different one-offs they're doing. And I hope they can kind of transition to putting the lager in some of the smaller tanks and using the bigger tanks for their more interesting, more exciting beer. But that's just me.
No, I'm with you there.
You know what I just realized? We were talking about breweries we've been to. I've been to House Sound like 3 times in the last month.
There we go. I was there the other day too.
Yeah, I've been climbing a lot and, go to House Sound afterwards. They've actually started up their own seasonal and rotating tap that you can't get bottled. They got rye IPA. That's
I had that. Reminded me. It was very tasty.
It's actually really good. Yeah. I don't know why I always forget about them, but they have such a huge line of beers, and I like that they're starting to break out a little more and start doing just some small batch seasonals that they're gonna just have at the brew pub.
Yeah,
we've been to their
drinking their Super Jupiter right now.
Have you been to their Devil's Elbow location?
Downtown? I have. I went with Mike to the opening.
Yeah,
that's a nice place.
Yeah. Great food.
That's a really nice place.
I love the fact that they had Billy Bugger on tap when I was there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you had like 3 of them.
Well, I went there for a taster tray and happy hour, and I ordered the happy hour food. You know, you order happy hour food, you expect the little plate, and you get a discount. Well, man, they aren't kidding around there.
Nice.
I could only eat about half of what I ordered, and I can eat.
So
I was like, oh, this is pretty good. You know, this is they're not your typical Vancouver sort of setup where you get, food on something that's this big when you pay $6 for it. So I will definitely go back there. I was pretty happy with it.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing what happens too with RMB Brewing that was bought out by House Sound, because that's throwing a whole new wrench in it too. And I mean, once they announced that purchase, then you had Central City announce that they bought the old Dick's location right across from BC Place too. So there's a lot of things happening really right now downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope Central City does a few more seasonals because of that. That's the one thing. I mean, they do have them at their brew pub, but they don't have anything. You know, it's mostly their regular lineup, I would say.
Yeah.
At least that I've seen. You know, it was good, all really good beer. But I would like to see them kind of delve a little bit more into the seasonal
beers. Just to get you a little more excited when you look past the Red Racer brand on the shelves.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you always just go, yeah, seen it.
Yeah, had it. It's good. Good stuff, you know.
Well, I'm not going to complain. Buy it again, but, you know, just shake it up a little. Yeah.
Well, there was rumors there'd be a lot of sours coming out of that location. That might just be rumors, but we'll see what happens.
No, they have a huge, huge souring room. Oh, no. Lots of barrels.
They have that souring room at the brewery in Surrey, but there was actually rumors that brew pub itself would have a lot of sours coming at it, too. But
interesting.
That could just be rumors that are unfounded. I don't know.
Yeah, last time I went by there, they had ripped out all the brewing equipment, at least as far as I could tell.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't know if they're expanding the restaurant or not, but
I'll
have to ask them.
It's been so long since I've been there because it's been closed for so long.
I just remember the poutine at Dick's was amazing.
Actually, Dick's was the very first place that I was introduced to cask beer because of Steve bringing me there.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was our first cask night.
Yes, it was.
Oh, dear.
That was a bit of a gong show, if I remember.
No comment.
All right, we should probably move on.
We should probably move on
to the next topic.
Well, we were going to kind of talk about different beers we're excited about across Canada, you know, things we've tried from different provinces, and it may not be available in BC. You may have to bring it in yourself, but interesting you. What about you, Terry?
Yeah, probably the most interesting ones, the ones that we can get here are the Quebec ones. You know, you've got True to Diablo. Due to CL, you still get the odd thing from Unibrew that's nice. I mean, their regular lineup's great. I don't mind. I like them. And I'm a big fan of their Grand Reserve, the 17.
Yeah.
And then what is it? The Trois? Oh, I can never pronounce it. Yeah, they're that's the one. They bring in some nice beer as well. So. Yeah. I always look for those on the shelves, and every now and then we get the barrel-aged due to CLs out here. And my parents were just in Montreal there. They didn't bring any due to CL back, but they said the bar was quite fun.
I bet.
Going in there and trying all those beers at once there. And just on that topic, I am drinking Unibrew's La Resolution.
I've never
heard of that. Actually their Christmas. It's a Christmas beer release. I tend to hold on to these heavily spiced ones and let them tone down a little bit and drink them a little closer to the summer. And this is actually pretty nice. I'm liking it. It's the first time I've had it. But I had read some reviews before, people talking about it being very heavily spiced. So I thought I would just let it sit for a while and open it up now.
Makes sense.
And then I had a Great Lakes Thrust IPA, which is one of the top rated ones there. Recently paired it with some Oka cheese. I'm looking forward to writing that up. That was pretty delightful. And beyond that, I don't really get much other stuff. I mean, you know, Mill Street's pretty popular and get their beer.
Yeah.
And I would like to see more stuff from Alberta. I know there's a lot of good craft breweries opening up, and I really wish we could get a hold of some of their beer.
Yeah, I wish too.
And then every now and then, Mike hooks me up. Every now and then, Mike hooks me up with some half pints.
Yeah, got my connections.
Sorry, guys. I just got a stiff offer. Actually, I'm kind of with you. The Quebec WA stuff is really sort of what has been exciting me lately. Against the Unibrew and the Trois Pistoles and stuff like that. I keep hoping Toronto is actually going to develop more of a scene than it has. Or at least that I hear about here, it's huge. You'd expect them to somewhere. Someone's going to start coming up with something.
I think with their expansion of the new private stores, that they keep talking about, the new craft beer specialty stores. I think that might spur some
might
growth. I hope it does. Yeah.
I certainly hope so too. Sorry, I just got to step off here for a sec. If you guys finish up, just let me know.
No problem. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I guess for me, one of the ones that really excites me is Half Pints in Winnipeg. I've got a good connection, so I can get almost every single one of their releases, including some of their specialty one-off growler fills, usually at my place within a week. The ones that I'm really excited about are, they've got a Imperial Barrel Aged Stout called Le Temps Noir, which is to die for. It's only made once a year. I still think I have one bottle of it in my cellar. They make some other great beers. I love the one beer. They've only made it once, I think, now, and the next release is in the works, but they're just waiting for it to come up properly, is their Old Red Barn, which is a barrel-aged sour. And it was amazing. It was so limited to be released. It was so hard to get, yet I still got a bottle in Vancouver.
Nice.
I've got the right friends. It's owned by Russell Brewing in Surrey. Fort Garry in Winnipeg makes an IPA I really liked and I wish I could get more of. It's Portage in Maine. They make it's a great IPA, lots of flavor. Other ones, probably one that it used to get a growler or two from was Lake of the Woods Brewing in Kenora, Ontario. It's a brew pub. They only do growler fills. But they make some great beer, and I'm hoping to get some more of their beer in the near future, I hope. Hopefully they're making some new seasonals, but we'll see. I tried Tool Shed when they were still being brewed out of Dead Frog in Surrey while they were building their brewery in Alberta, and I'd love to try some more of their beer, and I wish they'd actually ship it to BC. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, no kidding.
And going up to the Brew Fest in East Kootenays, and there's a couple different breweries that are coming from Alberta that I've never heard of. There's like Last Best Brewing and some other ones, and I'm really looking forward to trying them. But that's it for me. Anything else, Terry?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's any other. Again, I think it's one of those things where we're all in the same boat. We'd like to see more of it, you know, like to see the Toronto scene grow. And I mean, I don't know if it'd be good if they start sending their IPA out here, because
does it need to grow though, really, or does it just need to ship more to Canada or in this side of Canada? Because I think they have more breweries.
I think it needs to grow. I think it needs to grow just in the fact that, I mean, if they can support. I think they have most of the biggest population there, right?
Yeah.
So they need to be able to produce more that they need to send it out.
Yeah.
And, not a lot of beer comes cross country.
But
and usually, usually for good reason.
A problem with our stupid laws in Canada that make it hard to ship beer across provincial lines legally? I mean, it's easy to bring it across if you're just going across for a holiday, grabbing some beer or wine or whatever, bringing it back, or if you got a friend that's leaving and bringing back beer for you. But you have mm-hmm. to get a distribution company to buy the beer, bring it across the provincial line, almost like you are with the United States. And it's probably easier to mm-hmm. bring it from Washington or Oregon or California or anywhere than it is to bring it across the Alberta border or Ontario border or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that's likely the case. Usually is our government and tax that's hits us the most, which is unfortunate, and you know it's preventing a lot of business growth for Canadian companies, which is silly.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, we digress.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, we want more. We want more variety and more beer to drink. Is that too much to ask?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah.
We should bring
up, and no, that's it for me. I'm looking forward to seeing if we get some more stuff. Seems to be quite a bit of Washington stuff, you know, newer. I know Red Hook's coming, which wasn't really that exciting. But I am excited to see Moylan's back. They're a pretty good brewer. And there's been some other interesting stuff. Yeah, Laurelwood's nice. They don't do a lot of seasonals, but you know their mainstay is pretty good. And
there was just a new batch of Cascade Brewing Company that just came up from Oregon. I think it was a raspberry that just came up, and maybe an apricot. I can't remember. I saw the West Coast Liquor Carisdale was posted pictures.
Yeah, that's nice to see Cascade up here.
Yeah,
they're a wonderful brewery.
If you can afford the almost $40 price tag.
Oh yeah. I've been thinking about doing just a drive down there. I mean, at the end of the day, Cascade's only 5 hours away.
5 hours, yeah. And I'm driving 10 hours to a beer festival. So
yeah, exactly. All right. No, I'm good. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. Steve's not back yet, but I think we're good. So until episode 4, have a good one.
Yeah. Thank you.